Well, tonight I want us to return to that passage of Scripture that we read together from Judges. I will make reference to the passage that Mark read for us. But I want us to continue the theme that we've been looking at, the community of faith. Now, initially when I was considering this theme, this series, I was going to call it the family of faith, because that is what we as Christians are. We are a family of God's people. But sometimes we impose our own limits and our own meanings on a word. So I thought, well, let's use the larger word, the word community, because it embraces both family and those who are outside of our physical and biological families. But it says to us, we have got a shared identity. This evening, I want us to focus on the theme of faith and the family. This morning, we were thinking of the head of the family, and we were thinking of our Lord, as the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon there in verse 11, and he made that great promise, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And we were looking at the way that God is with his people, corporately and individually. Last Sunday morning, we were looking at Timothy, a man who had been brought up by a faithful mother and grandmother, even though his father was not a believer. Timothy had not been able to go through all the rituals of Old Testament faith, and he didn't bear the mark of the covenant in his body, but he had been taught the scriptures within his family, and he had a godly upbringing. But things are different here with Gideon. He's brought up within the covenant people, the Old Testament people of God. And his pedigree, if you like, is described in verse 11, where he is described as the son of Joash, and he is an Abiezrite. Verse 15 tells us that he was from the tribe of Manasseh, the one of the sons of Joseph. But when we read verse 25, we find that his father, who had all the physical qualifications, did not have the spiritual qualifications. He lived in a religious community, but he had not embraced and followed the faith for himself. Notice in verse 25, take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it. And this man, who had the right pedigree, had the wrong practices. And God comes and he speaks to Gideon, and he says, your faith is going to challenge your relationship with your family, and in particular with your father. Now, there's an interesting point in these verses that we could so easily overlook. In verse 11, we're told about the terebinth, this tree at Ophrah, which is a part of the worship of Baal and Asherah. And but it's the name of the place that I want us to think about, Ophrah. It's mentioned again there in verse 24, where you have got a refocusing on the one true God, that Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. Why mention Ophrah? Do you know anything else about it? Because when I was preparing for this message, I thought, well, where is this place? Why has God specifically mentioned the place? And as I went back, I realized that Ophrah is near a place called Shechem, and that is situated between two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And this morning in our message, I was talking to you that when God brought his people into the promised land, Moses was told, get a group of people to stand on Mount Ebal, get a group of people to stand on Mount Gerizim. One will pronounce the blessings of God because of faithfulness, and the other will pronounce the judgment of God because of unfaithfulness. So Ophrah is midway between these two mountains. And in effect, you know, those of you who know the Brecon Beacons, you can go to a point and you can stand there and you can say, that's Penavan. And I don't know the names of others, but you can look across. And you've got the situation there where here in Ophrah, they can see Mount Ebal. They can see Mount Gerizim. And they can say, yes, God warned us that if we walk by faith, if we walk in obedience, there will be blessings. But if we turn away from God, there will be judgment. There will be discipline. There will be judgment. And this is what has happened. The one true God has been pushed to the perimeters of life. They probably still acknowledged the name of the Lord Jehovah. But it was Baal. It was Asherah. It was the gods of the nations around them that had come in. Now, we're not told how this backsliding had happened. But I can say to you, my brothers and sisters, it happens constantly. Do you remember what Paul wrote in Romans 12? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. J.B. Phillips, in his translation, says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. But it does, doesn't it? We become like the people around us. Are our homes markedly different from the homes of our neighbours? Is our way of life markedly different from those around us? And on the whole, we would have to say no. And God's people have come to this point. Here in Gideon's own family, the family of Joash, not only have they erected an altar to Baal, but they've cut one of these trees that they use like a phallic symbol, and it is an Asherah, and there's one in the garden of Joash. There'd have been another in the garden of their neighbour, and everyone has come to the point where they just want to be like people around them. We need to take stock. Is God still first in our lives? Can we honestly say that we love the Lord more than any of these other things? What takes priority in your life? Yeah, you say, oh yeah, I've got to be in church on Sunday. But what about the prayer meeting? What about caring for your brother and sister in the Lord? And Gideon is faced by this fact. The Lord has brought him to the point where he can rejoice and say, verse 24, the Lord is peace. But then our reading tonight began with that incredible challenge. That night the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it. And the first thing that I want to show you tonight is the priority of faith. Within our families, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in God in Trinity, has to take priority. God had come and had spoken to Gideon, and we see that meeting beginning in verse 11. But when they'd entered into a relationship, God said to Gideon, are you prepared to walk with me? Are you prepared to trust me? Are you prepared to make faith the first thing in your life? A genuine faith, my brothers and sisters, is an ongoing relationship with God. Yes, we do recite, I know we don't do it physically very often, but sometimes we sing the hymns, but we recite our creeds, we believe. But friends, is it just lip service? Is it just head knowledge? Or is it a relationship with God? Now, the facts are that the relationship with God had been pushed to the extremes. And when Gideon, I would want to say, had been born again of the Spirit of God, when God had spoken to him, God then said, I've got a work for you to do. You need to stand for your faith. Now, we're not told how God spoke to him, and I don't want to in any way try to add to Scripture, but Gideon here, like Samuel, becomes aware that God has a message for him. People spoke to me this morning after the service, and they said, Bernard, God really spoke to me this morning. And that is possible. It is possible to hear the voice of God. And there I'm not talking necessarily physically, but it is possible for the Spirit so to work in us that we know that God is speaking to me. There may be many others around us, but we know that in that particular service, in that particular sermon, in that particular private devotional reading, God takes hold of us. Tonight, Mark read for us, God has spoken to us in many ways. He's spoken to us through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. And God has spoken to us in his Son. But God speaks to us through his word. And we must not lose sight of this, that the Bible is God speaking to us today. Jim Packer wrote a book, God Has Spoken. And he is arguing that we have all that we need in the Scriptures. We do not need to add to it. But there's a way in which not only has God spoken, full stop, but God continues to speak as the Spirit is poured out into our hearts, as the eyes of our understanding are opened, as the Spirit witnesses with our spirits. I want to ask you tonight, friends, when you come to church, do you expect to hear God's voice? In your private devotions, as you turn to the set passage or whatever it is you use for your daily Bible readings, do you read expecting the Holy Spirit to speak to us? We have to live in faith, trusting that God will speak. And that brings us to the second point that I want to bring out tonight, the reality of faith. God spoke to Gideon. He showed him what he required of him. And Gideon said, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, I will do whatever God wants me to do." No. The reality of the faith is found at the end of verse 27. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. Friends, if we live by faith, there will be times when our knees are knocking and we are shaking in our boots. And we will think, how can I upset Mum? How can I upset Dad? How can I do this, which I know my wife will not agree with? I know my husband is going to be offended if I say the Lord has challenged me about this particular situation. But Gideon has known a unique and an immediate experience of God. But it doesn't change him immediately. You've got this fear. Fear of family and fear of the men in the town. Now we can read this and say, he should have found his strength in the Lord. We read about Peter, don't we, the night of the betrayal and the denial. And we talk about Peter following at a distance. We criticize Peter for denying his Lord. But, friends, would you be any different? Would I be any different? Later in our communion service, we are going to pray for the Barnabas Fund. We are going to give our offering in communion to the Barnabas Fund. What is the Barnabas Fund? It is a group of people in this country committed to helping both spiritually and practically those who suffer under intolerable regimes and suffer for the sake of the gospel. Friends, those of us who are older, how would we have coped if we had grown up under communism? How would we cope today if we were living in a country governed by ISIS? How do we cope living where we live? And let's not forget that many who come to faith are converted these days in situations where they've grown up in a religious setting that if they choose to change their faith, they could very well die for their faith. And Gideon knew that this was his experience. The people make no mistake. They want to kill him. And friends, throughout history, there have been times when God's people have been afraid. Timothy was told by Paul that we have not received the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. And yet, he had to write that to Timothy because he was afraid in the situation that he found himself. You think of the Reformation, and there were men who turned against the Catholic Church, but when their lives were threatened, they recanted. Oh, terrible! Would you have been any different? Would I have been any different? The reality of faith at times will make us afraid. There will be times when we have to make choices that our family, even as believers, may not like. But if you're serious in your faith, if you really want to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will need to make that choice, and you will need to follow. And then we come to our third heading tonight, and within this I've got 3 points that I want to bring out. The fruit of faith. So we've seen the priority of faith, of our relationship with God. We have seen the reality of faith, that at times it will make us afraid in our setting. And what is the fruit of faith? What happened in the life of Gideon because he was prepared to stand for God? Well, we are told what he did in verses 28 to 30. He cut down the altar to Baal, and he cut down the Asherah. He rebuilt the altar to God. He offered the blood sacrifice of a bull, and he obeyed God to the letter. But what do the men of the city say in verse 13? The men of the town said to Joash, "Bring out your son, that we might discuss this with him. Bring out your son, that we might talk with him and understand what he's going on about." No. "Bring out your son, that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it." The people of God, the visible people of God, were ruthless with him. He had disturbed the status quo. He had challenged their approach to religion. And they weren't going to show any mercy. The older I get, the more I realize how horrific is humanity's opposition to the gospel. For 3 years, people tried to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. The time wasn't right. But when the time was right, they didn't think twice about it. And we live in a world where even today people die. There is fierce opposition to the things of God. And I want you to understand this, friends, that God didn't immediately withdraw the enemy. The Midianites continued to attack. And even in the early church, when Peter had been anointed with the Holy Spirit and the disciples had been filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, God didn't stop the opposition of the Jews. And we read in Acts 8 that the Jews opposed the church and the church was scattered. In Acts 12, it was the Roman authorities under their Jewish puppets who opposed the apostles, and they wanted to put they put James to death, and they wanted to put Peter to death. Friends, our faith will be tested within our families, but there's a way in which it will also be tested by fire. And do not be surprised by the opposition that you will find in our tolerant society. Oh, we've got to tolerate this, we've got to tolerate that. We've got to tolerate anything but the truth and the great message of the gospel. The fruit of faith, fierce opposition. But it's not all despair, because the fruit of faith also produces rekindled faith. Gideon was afraid to cut down the Asherah and the altar to Baal during the day, because he thought his father would be amongst those who would have opposed him. But look at verse 31. But Joash, that's Gideon's dad, Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal, or will you save him? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is God, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down." Could you imagine Gideon? Is that my dad? Is my dad really supporting me? Is he really with me? And I want to use this as an encouragement. Perhaps you, like I, have walked with God for decades, and you've got unconverted brothers and sisters. Maybe you've still got unconverted parents, unconverted children. God is still able to draw them to faith. But what about that backsliding child? He may be in his 50s now. He came to faith as a teenager, but he turned away. Gideon was prepared to trust God and to stand against his family. And as a result of it, the faith of his father was either rekindled or was stimulated for the first time. The brothers, physical brothers of our Lord Jesus Christ, they did not believe in him to begin with. But when we get to Acts 15, who is it that chairs the Council of Jerusalem? It is James, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of faith, fierce opposition, rekindled faith. But there is a third fruit that I want to show you down in verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abiezrites, that's his own clan, were called out to follow him. Verse 35, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, that's the whole of his tribe, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, to Zebulun, and to Naphtali, and they went up to meet them. And here we have what I want to describe as empowered faith. This wasn't human faith. Back in verse 11, Gideon was afraid of the enemy. He wasn't even prepared to thresh just a small amount of grain in public, because he was afraid, one, that it would be stolen, or two, maybe it would have cost him his life. In verse 27, at the early part of this message tonight, we saw that he was afraid of his family. Let me take you to the upper room, the night of our Lord Jesus Christ's betrayal. Peter says, "I will not deny you, Lord." But three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He spent 6 or 7 weeks in horrible backsliding. He met the Lord. The Lord challenged him. The Lord gave him his marching orders. He told him to encourage and to strengthen his brothers. But Peter was still uncertain. And then the day of Pentecost arrived. And Peter had an experience of God which is even greater than that of Gideon here. Here we are told that the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. And that is what used to happen in the Old Testament, that the Spirit of God would come upon God's people, upon God's messengers. They would be empowered for that particular experience. But no, in the New Testament, every person here tonight who is a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And when Gideon was clothed upon with the Holy Spirit, what did he do? He sounded the trumpet. And do you know what he, in effect, said? He said exactly the same as the Lord Jesus Christ after he had been baptized and he began his ministry. In effect, Gideon is saying, come, follow me. He had quaked. He had felt incapable. But here he is saying, I know God. I know his power. He has changed me. And just like our Savior said, follow me. So the Apostle Paul said, be imitators of me, even as I am of Christ. Friends, the fruit of faith may be fierce opposition, but if you are prepared to trust the Lord, he may draw members of your family or even other members of your wider community into faith in himself. I won't mention specific names. Those of you who know the situation will know what has happened. But we've got one of our ladies here and has had the thrill in the last 3 weeks of bringing her neighbour to church. Why? Because God is at work. And we have got to believe that God is able to use even our weakness, that we might be the means of maybe a backslider being rekindled, of you as an individual who has lived a life of fear, being so filled with the Spirit that you are able to declare the wonders and the glories of God. Friends, if you're going to be a part of the community of faith, there will be times and you have to say to your wife, to your husband, to your parents, to your children, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He has to be first. And who knows what God will do with you. He's sitting in the back row tonight. 6 years ago, he was outside of the kingdom of God. And yet, in this last fortnight, John Funnell has been used by God to speak directly into the lives of Sikhs. Would we have thought of that in Abasakhan? Who knows what God is able to do with us as we walk with him? May God encourage each of us to put our faith before our families to the glory and the praise of our God. Amen.